Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz.
And I'm Emma.
And Emma's here as my little temporary co-host, and I'm very appreciative that she's stepping up. How you doing, Emma?
Great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me back.
And today we're going to talk about upgrading. So when we talk about upgrading, what do you think we're talking about today?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is Beyonce and Upgrade You.
Okay.
But moving beyond that, like I just do a little dance in my head. But yeah, I wrestled with this question a little bit to kind of figure out what that meant to me. And immediately the first things that were coming to mind were things like planned obsolescence, you know, appliances, computers, technology, just stopping working within a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then also this idea that everybody always needs the newest, best thing. So even though you still have something that works perfectly well, getting rid of it to get the newest version. So that's what I kind of thought of. What about you?
Excellent. We're kind of on the same page here. Yeah, I was thinking mostly technology, but I mean, I guess it would apply to pretty well anything. I think it's just technology, phones, computers, cars, that sort of thing. They tend to evolve faster than other things.
Yeah.
Right? Like your table is still a table. I can see your table not really needing to get upgraded too much. Although I have to say, somehow straws have developed in technology and it kind of blows my mind. Like,
yeah,
collapsible straws. Like straws are not that big. Why do they need to be able to collapse? Anyway, whatever. I digress.
Well, no, for that stuff like that, I feel like it's really easy for somebody who would carry a handbag or a purse to have a straw like with them. But if you don't, like, my partner would never just have a bag with him. So if it's collapsible and he can fit it in his pocket, then all of a sudden, like, he has his reusable straw.
Yeah,
he's not with him.
I guess so. It just doesn't seem like that complicated of a piece of equipment to have so many options. Like, you can get a metal straw or a glass straw or a silicone straw or a paper straw or a plastic straw. Like, and then, like, some of them bend and some of them don't and some of them collapse and some of them... Like, there's too many options for straws.
It's overkill. It's overkill. But yeah, I can see how, you know, not everybody would want to be carrying everything with them at all times. So
yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, I agree. There's a lot.
that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about upgrading mostly devices. So do you think that we're driven internally or externally to want to upgrade all the time, or a little bit of both, I guess?
I feel like lots of it comes from outside pressure and this whole like keeping up with the Joneses mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important when you are trying to upgrade something or think you need to or are ready to buy something new, whatever, to ask yourself why. And so I was kind of thinking about this. I'm like, well, what are the three... For me, the three things that kind of stood out as reasons why somebody might want to upgrade something. One is image. So like being like externally driven or like feeling like you need to have this so that like you fit in or you're accepted or you're like with it. The other one is function. Like if you have something that is no longer serving its function, like with phones, especially like the battery dying all the time or not holding a charge or
mm-hmm.
Like the screen, if your screen is cracked or whatever it is, like if you feel like it's not fulfilling its purpose or not even fulfilling its purpose, like it's just not as good or as fast or as current as you want it to be. And then the last one is if it's like no longer in line with your values. Like there's lots of stuff around the house that I've been noticing that like maybe I bought when I was kind of thinking differently or had a different mindset or a different relationship with my things.
Like your toilet brush?
Yeah. You're talking. Yes. 100%. But like I haven't replaced that yet. So I told Biz last week that I've been waiting for my toilet scrubby brush to hit the dust because it's just this classic awful one that I'm pretty sure came from the dollar store. Like it's flimsy, it's the stand is like, I just am not into it. And I've wanted a bamboo scrubby brush for my toilet for probably 3 years now. So that's an upgrade that I want. But this damn plastic one isn't dying and it's not dead yet. So I'm not going to just throw it in the garbage and get a new one when like it's still serving its purpose.
Even though you could get a better one that is more sustainable to purchase now, like you wouldn't go out and buy the same one again.
No.
Right? So you'd be upgrading your toilet brush to something stronger and more eco-friendly, but you don't really need to because the one you have still technically functions.
Yeah. And the most sustainable option is always the one that you already have. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people kind of fall into that trap when they're kind of starting out on their journey to creating less waste and thinking, like, looking in your Tupperware cupboard and being like, this is all plastic, like it should all be glass. And then you throw out all these plastic Tupperware containers and replace them with glass containers. But like, is that really sustainable? Like just sending all of this plastic that you could still be using to landfill? Like,
yeah, I think Emily and I have talked about this a number of times. We don't really, plastic is a very functional material.
Yeah.
But it's not necessary for everything. And the biggest problem is that we as a society think of it as disposable. When the mm-hmm. truth is, it's actually like, it can't go away.
No. So,
using it for something that's intended to be durable and last a long, long time makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, all my Tupperware is plastic, but I wouldn't be throwing it out for glass. Yeah, I agree. That would
be
silly.
We still have lots of our plastic ones. I do have, like, the nesting glass. Who's it by? I can't even remember who makes them, but it's, like, 4 or 5 different size glass containers, and they have plastic lids, but they're freezer safe. They're oven safe. You could store food in them in the fridge. So that's really good if we're like making a big batch of lasagna or chili or something. Like you can just throw it in the freezer and then let it thaw, throw it in the oven. Whereas if it's in a plastic container in the freezer, you can't. Or maybe I wouldn't reheat that in the microwave. I'd put it into a bowl instead. So
right.
We definitely have, like, as our Tupperware either cracks or like all of the lids are busted and we can't get more, whatever the case may be. As we've been replacing it, we have been, I guess, upgrading to glass, but we're not just getting rid of the still completely functional plastic before we do that.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Like we had said, this doesn't necessarily just apply to technology. I think it's just the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
So the minimalists have a blog post, which I will link in the show notes, to their rules for upgrading. They have 3 levels for if your whatever, your X, is no longer functioning and it needs to be upgraded. Mm-hmm. Their rule 1 is to go without. And of course, that seems like the hardest one, but that's probably why it's 1, because I think it's important to question whether you actually needed the thing in the first place. Like, just because you had it doesn't mean you needed it. Or maybe you did need it at one point, but you don't anymore. And now that it's dying or doesn't seem to serve its purpose the way it once did, maybe you just don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's interesting because there are so many gadgets that are made to just serve one purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, say you're cutting citrus fruit, you could use your knife and your cutting board. And yet they have those, like, have you seen them? They're like circles with the blades that go across all of them. And you kind of like slam it down over the citrus fruit and it's supposed to slice them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like if you have one of those and it's not working, I really don't think you need to go out and buy another one of those when you have a perfectly good knife and cutting board.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can see that being useful if you do it a lot. Right?
I worked at a restaurant for many years, and honestly, the knife and cutting board was, for me anyways, maybe I'm a creature of habit, and so I was definitely used to doing it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
But I found, like, stuff is constantly getting stuck, you need to readjust it, it takes a couple of tries to make it go. Like, I think oftentimes the kind of novel things that are meant to solve one problem, sometimes they're great. I'm sure there are examples that are really, really great, but I don't know. I think lots of them, it's just kind of a marketing gimmick or a ploy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's, yeah, you're probably right, because you probably have to, like, balance the lemon or the lime, like, on its end in order to get it squared up, whereas with the knife, you're just, the lime's just in there. Chop, chop, chop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would get pretty proficient with it if you did it a lot. Yeah, that's one of those things. Do you actually need it? Maybe you don't need to go get a new one. Don't go get a new one. Just use a knife, which you use for many other things.
Try a different way. And I guess, I don't know, there's a learning curve with everything, but I do think that's interesting to just, yeah, even if it seems like you need it, what else can you do? What else do you already have? Like we said earlier, like the most sustainable choice is always the one that you already have. So
yeah,
if there's something else that might work, give that a go.
Even with something like a car, you might be using a second car entirely out of habit in your household. Maybe you could just go down to one if one's dying.
Yeah.
You know, maybe try it out for a while. See if it's actually that hard.
I like that, because that challenges, like, your way of, like, going about your day-to-day life. Like, that would be a big difference. But, I mean, if one person, one of you takes the bus, one of you rides a bike, one of you, like, there's lots of ways to challenge the idea that you need that second vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So we have a one-vehicle household. My husband works quite a ways away from where we live at the moment, but we also know that that could be a temporary thing. So he uses the car to get to work. We specifically chose a location for our home near where I work because we don't foresee me leaving that job anytime soon. And then I'm able to use my bike to get to most places, but then I still have access to a car for the odd thing that I should need it for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you were just talking last week about how you got your spikes for your tires too. So even turning that into the possibility of like year long in our winters, that's so cool.
Yeah. And I biked all winter last year. So, you know,
I love that.
It'll be that much easier this year with my studded tires. I'm very excited about those.
Well, and in our household, we are a two vehicle household, but my partner drives a truck, which we use all the time in the summer, especially when we go camping with the dogs. Like, we really need the bed, I guess, of the truck. We use all of the time, especially like helping friends move. I'm shocked at how often actually we use the truck. But anytime, like if we're driving my stepson to school, or if we're going out for dinner, or if we're doing things all of us, we always try to take my vehicle because it's just a little car. So it's way more environmentally friendly. So we've been trying to use my vehicle more and more, and his just when we need it.
Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If most of the time you're only using one or the other for different functions, do you think that it's more environmentally friendly to have two vehicles where you're only using one at a time, but you're using them for different functions, or using the truck and only having the truck all the time?
When COVID is different times, like for the last year and a half, we've been doing it this way. Normally, my business is a mobile business. Like, I pack up and bring everything everywhere, and I do a lot of driving, and the truck is definitely not a sustainable option for the amount of driving that I have to do. And we do often, when I am able to work, we do need both vehicles. So COVID is just this kind of like awkward time where for a long time, I just had my vehicle on park. Like, we didn't even have it insured, and we were just using the one vehicle. But now that, you know, things are starting to open back up again, and we are becoming more, I don't want to say like autonomous is the wrong word, but doing things independently, and sometimes he'll be out, sometimes I'll be out, we have them both again.
I guess I was more asking like more in general, not necessarily you specifically, but is it more environmentally friendly to have two vehicles, one that uses less gas, but you still need that stronger one for the truck functions, right? The heavier duty truck that's obviously going to use more gas. Is it better to have two vehicles and then have the car for, even if it was an electric vehicle, let's say, electric vehicle and a big truck, but you use them for different things. You only use the truck when you need the truck's functions, but you use the electric vehicle for all your little running around and stuff. Or would it be better to just have one less vehicle entirely, but then when you do all the little running around, you're using a big truck? just like theory.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's really interesting. And I think there's lots of like ifs, ands, or buts, like where yeah. are these, like my vehicle was purchased used. I think if you're going out and buying like a brand new, like, I don't know, like where are you placing the need or the demand? And like, what is the environmental impact of the vehicle? And how often are you using it to do your running around? Like, how much would you be driving this big truck around? I don't know. I think that's a really interesting question. I don't think I have an answer.
Yeah.
I think it's really good food for thought.
Mostly just,
like,
yeah.
Also, if you only did have the truck, does that mean, like, for running around, like, are you as a family going out on your bikes instead of driving a little vehicle? Like, what other changes, like, how else will that impact the way that you
yeah.
live your day-to-day life? You know what yeah. I mean? I think
it's
question.
Good to challenge your habits and just see how much you actually need it versus using it because it's convenience that you're used to and out of habit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phones too. I'm really like, there's part of me that's really wrestling with the, do I really need a smartphone? Like,
do you not have a smartphone right now?
No, I do. And oh. I find myself using the smartphone functions less and less. And I try to be more intentional with my, like, I try not to get distracted by it. So I've got, like, mm-hmm. the screen timer so I can see how much time I spend on my phone every day. And I try not to, like, sift through emails or sift through Instagram or anything like that on my phone. It's like, if I want to do that, if I'm intentionally wanting to spend my time doing that, I will go to my computer and do it.
I like that. So have you removed those apps from your phone? So that's not even a choice for you, or is it still there? I'm just curious.
I have not. I don't think that I think because I use the GPS function a lot on my phone, mm-hmm. and that is something I can't use on my computer. I need that yeah. to be mobile. That, like, Google Maps would probably be like the one thing I couldn't lose.
Yeah. That was the first thing I thought of when yeah. you were saying do I need a smartphone. Like, I
yeah.
use Google Maps and GPS on my phone all of the time. But I think that's really great for you and for your own, like, practices and time management. If you are going to be, you know, checking emails or scrolling through Instagram or checking your messages or whatever it is, to make the conscious decision to do that on your computer, instead of allowing that to eat up so much of your time that you're mm-hmm. not even aware that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how quickly it adds up.
So just, like, challenge yourself. How much do you actually need these things? And build that intentionality and mm-hmm. mindfulness to it. So the second stage of the minimalist upgrade rule is repair. So which is, like, my favorite thing ever. So we were talking about smartphones. You're talking about cracked yeah. screens and batteries. Those things mm-hmm. can be fixed on your phone.
100%.
Now, the problem that people have with that is they have to pay for it, which they think is more expensive than just upgrading their phone. But they do charge you for the phones. They just integrate it into the cost of your plan.
Yeah. And they're developed to make you feel like that's what you're supposed to be doing, is buying another $1,000 or $2,000 phone instead of spending $70 to replace the battery. Like, it's somehow cheaper to get a new phone.
Yeah. So paying $80 a month instead of $50 a month getting a new phone versus spending $100 to upgrade your phone, like, you'd make that back within 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 3 months more with that phone and it was worth doing the repair.
Yeah. And it's insane to me how many people sell, like, if you look up used phones or whatever on Facebook Marketplace or Kijiji or whatever, like, buying community, so many of them are, oh, the screen's cracked, but otherwise it's fine. And you know that it's because they got a new phone and they just don't want to be bothered to repair this one. And it blows my mind, because even for me, if I'm going to sell my phone, I'm going to fix the screen first because I know I'll get more money for it. Like, I will get more.
Yeah. I mean, there's the convenience factor for them, too. Like, they could spend $100 to fix it and get an extra $200 to sell it. Or they can just sell it, get it out of the hair, and the other person can deal with having to go down and get it fixed. Or not, if they choose to just not bother.
But I think a lot of people fall into that mindset where, like, it's just easier to get rid of it. When if I'm rehoming something, whether I'm selling it or donating it or giving it to somebody in my Buy Nothing group or passing it on to a friend or family, like, I clean that item first, or I fix that item first, or if there's something that needs adjusting, like, I will do that before I give it. Because, and I mentioned this last time we talked as well, when we were talking about Buy Nothing groups, I feel like it's so important to give things in a condition where, like, they'll be appreciated. Like, even if you have a pair of tennis shoes that you're giving to Goodwill, like, clean the white parts first, or, like, give them a quick wipe down, or do what you can so that, like, that item has a chance at somebody being like, oh, I would like to purchase this. You see a nice clean pair of shoes versus a nice dirty pair of shoes, like, which ones are you going to buy?
Right.
But I think a lot of people just fall into, like, oh, that'll be someone else's problem. Oh, that'll be someone else's problem. And then
it's always someone else's problem.
Going to waste.
It's not someone else's problem.
Yeah. So repair, even if you're not going to keep it, I feel like repair.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the kind thing to do. You are a kind human being, Emma.
Not even kind. Like, I just feel like that's, like, when it's your thing that you're getting rid of, like, you need to take ownership of that. Like, if you give it away in a state where it looks like garbage, like, you're giving garbage. Like, that's, fix it.
I get that. That totally makes sense to me. I wish more people had that mindset where you
have
ownership of your possessions and you are responsible for them 100%. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing. People don't repair clothing. They just go get new stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll donate it with, like, the little holes or the ripped seam. Or I think lots of people, when they cut or rip a tag, the seam will tear where the tag used to be in their clothes. And then instead of stitching it and wearing it, they'll donate it like that. And somebody else will buy it not realizing that it's wrecked because they haven't looked closely when, like, just repair. Like, it's a perfectly good garment. There's no need, like, this idea that you can just get rid of it because it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's a little odd. Like we've talked about before, I'm into the visible mending, and I actually just noticed that the sweater I'm wearing right now, where is it? There it is. Has a little hole beside the button, so I might have to do something fun with that. Looking forward to getting creative with that. We'll see. And step three is, if you can't go without it and it's not repairable, then be mindful in replacing it. So get it used, get it local, get it somewhere that it's sustainably made, right? There are options for how to go replacing it. So, like, when it comes to phones, my last three phones, at least two, but I think three, have been used.
Yeah.
So, like you said, they're on Kijiji so frequently, like, it's not hard to find a used phone because there's so the thing I have the problem with that is that's not a sustainable option because not everyone can do that. It relies on somebody upgrading in order for that to be a viable option for anybody. Someone else has to go and get the new one.
Yeah.
Right? But there's not really a new phone that is the sustainable option. So as far as I know, like, do you know if there's more eco-friendly phones than other ones?
Honestly, what was I reading? During Waste Reduction Week, because the theme for Wednesday was e-waste.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at the Waste Reduction Week Canada website, and I think it said something like, people hold on to their phones for an average of 2 years before they replace it. And I'd have to go back and look because the amount of materials that are, like, valuable that come from our e-waste and, like, dead phones and stuff. I can't remember how many tons of phones, but, like, there's gold in there. There's what, like, the metal, like, there's lots of valuable resources. So I think as long as we're making sure we dispose of them properly so that the parts are being recycled and reused. Mm-hmm. But are there phones that use recycled parts or use old parts? Or like, I don't know. And I don't know if there is a company that's like a leader in making sure their stuff is sustainably sourced.
Yeah. Or I actually have no idea. If there are any listeners who have more information on this, please let us know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I struggle with that a lot, actually. Pens are a big one for me. They drive me crazy. Yeah. Like, do I just use the Bics that we have at work because they're already there? Or do I buy a new pen? I did actually end up going to get a fountain pen that's refillable, and that's what I use at work now. And I only use it. Don't use other pens at work. I'm like, no, because the store is going to replace them when they die, or we're just going to get more. If I just refuse to use them, I'm going to use my refillable fountain pen from now on.
Well, no, that does. I honestly feel like those steps do make a difference, because for every pen, like every disposable or whatever you want to call it, like once it's empty or once it's lost or whatever, if it needs to be replaced for whatever reason, you are not creating the demand for the pen that's going to replace it to be produced.
Right.
Like, exactly. You're not creating the demand for that pen to be purchased. So I think that's impactful. Even though it might seem like it's something small, like a pen, like you are no longer creating the demand for the new one to be produced.
Yeah. But there's always that struggle, though, with a lot of things. It's like, do I get the used thing because the used thing requires someone else to upgrade theirs? Or the used thing requires there to be some sort of demand for it in the first place that has been passed down to me? Or do I spend the extra money and invest the extra resources into a new one that should theoretically be more long-term sustainable? Mm-hmm. It's like the most eco-friendly option is the one you already have, but can you choose the thing that... Yeah, I struggle with those options quite a bit. Pens, I have made the switch.
Yeah, especially if you don't know, like, how the used item was being taken care of. Like, it's the same as when you buy a used vehicle. Like, did the previous owner change the oil every 3 months or however many kilometers? Like, did they do regular maintenance? Like, because when you take care of the thing that you already have, it's going to last longer. So yes, even though you're buying something new, if you know from the jump that you're going to take care of it, you're going to use it till the end of its life, you're going to repair it as it needs to be repaired, do the regular like checks and maintenance, then like that might be the more sustainable option, because you're not having to deal with issue after issue created by the negligence of the person who may have owned it before, right? Yeah.
You're kind of losing. And with vehicles, like I struggle with that. Do I buy a used vehicle or do I get a new electric vehicle? Mm-hmm. Right? Because there aren't very many used electric vehicles at this point in the game.
No.
Because they're still pretty new. And with my pen, I've discovered, like, you can get a pack of pens for, like, $10. You get 10 pens or something. Like, pens are not expensive. But I get a bottle of ink for $10. And it'll last me at least that box of pens.
Yeah.
Right? And then the bottle is all glass with a metal cap. And no plastic pens getting thrown out constantly. So, you know, I'm happy with my pen decision. Also, I get a lot of comments on the fact that I use a fountain pen.
So
it's like that. It comes up. I think if it was like a refillable ballpoint pen, no one would notice. But because it's a fountain pen, it gets a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. People are like,
because you fancy
use a fancy fountain pen person. This classy person with grease on her face as she's working. Anyway, so clothing, I feel that way, right? Like, anyway, I struggle with that a lot, but I do think about it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. When I try to get something, I definitely don't just like go to Walmart and buy new t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Nope. It's not really how I roll. But
yeah, I don't even know the last time that I did that. Like, I really don't. Which is interesting to think about, because that's, I think, a habit.
You were talking earlier about how you're like, I don't know if I can come up with something to talk about every week. And and I'm like, well, you know what? There's probably a lot of stuff that you don't do that actually is more sustainable. Like you, it's probably hard to think about because it's things you don't do rather than things you do.
Yeah, not things that you do. Yeah. And like you were saying, it's not about like, get this instead of this, get this instead of this. It's not about the things that you can buy or the things that you can do. And then in some cases it is things you can do. Like we were talking about appliances and planned obsolescence, like things like writing letters to say like, this is ridiculous that I'm having to replace my battery after a year. This was a brand new phone. So holding producers responsible. So that's a thing that you can do. But in so many cases, it's, yeah, a thing that you don't do. It's not going to this place. It's not accepting this plastic bag, or it's not spending, I don't know. Yeah, it's things that you're not doing. So you don't even realize that you're doing them because.
Yeah. So yeah, I would challenge anyone out there who's looking to upgrade anything. Just like, do you need it? Do you actually? Yeah.
Yeah. If you are upgrading a thing, I know we talked a little bit about like being intentional with like the thing that's being upgraded. If it does still work, like obviously the great challenge would be continue to use it for as long as you can, take care of it. But if you are choosing to upgrade it anyways, be intentional with where the X item ends up. Like if you are going to donate it.
Oh, the disposal. Clean it up first, yes.
Wash it. Yeah. And being like, we, for many, many years, our coffee routine was, we have a little mocha pot. It's got the metal filter in it. We buy bulk coffee. So like a very zero waste coffee routine. But years ago, we used to have an espresso machine, which we loved. It has been downstairs gathering dust because we haven't been using it. And we decided to get a new one, which we're like, if we're going to get a coffee maker thing with the disposable pods, and espresso uses aluminum, you can bring them back and they will recycle them and compost the coffee. So like, yeah, there's still a lot of energy and resources required for that, but I think it is the most sustainable option that there is. So before we got this new one, we found our old one from the basement, sold that. I gave it like a really good clean, ran water through it, cleaned the inside, cleaned the outside, made sure everything was working, and passed that one on first. Because that one, like it was a different model. It only did espresso, which I like, but this one does full cups of coffee, which my partner likes. So it wasn't like he wanted to start using espresso again, but not that one. But yeah, instead of just like pulling out this like dusty machine that looked like it had seen better days, like it looked brand new when we got rid of it.
Well, yeah, there you go. So, okay. Coffee is one of those things that I've struggled with. It's like, coffee, like kind of trying to come up with sustainable coffee practices. And just like the minimalist upgrade rule, the number one thing is you don't really need coffee.
Oh, but it, the amount of joy, the amount of joy it brings me, I feel like we say no to so much. Like there are so many things where I'm like, that's not sustainable. I'm going to pass. That's not sustainable. Other people do that. I'm not going to engage. I'm going to choose not to. Like there are so many things. And even when it comes to diet, like, and I know everybody's like doing their own thing and we're all just trying to be like the kindest humans that we can. I like a mostly plant-based vegetarian. I'm not fully vegan, but like finding options that are cruelty-free, that are dairy-free, that are palm oil-free, that are plastic-free, that are like XYZ-free. Like,
and you're
it's
like,
so hard to
damn it, I'm going to have my morning coffee.
I want my coffee. Like there are so many things that I say no to. I am going to drink my coffee and I'm going to like it and I'm going to be a kinder human because of it.
You don't want to see me without my coffee.
Let me have this.
Yeah. I have considered, like, if I lived alone, I probably would forgo the coffee and switch to tea. But I know that my partner is going to keep drinking coffee, and so I'm going to also partake because it's going to be in my house anyway. And and I do like coffee. Like, don't get me wrong. I do enjoy coffee. But It has been a thing that I've also struggled with. It's like, I know that we can't grow coffee locally, so it's gotta be flown in from somewhere.
Yeah.
But I know that it's not leaving this house anytime soon, so I'm going to enjoy it and then do it just the best way that I can.
Yeah. No, and I think that's all any of us can do is our best. And like some things and some people have, you know, decided I am going to do this because of this, or I'm not because of that. And like no one person can do everything. And even if that one person did everything, there are still so many other factors and so many of these issues are still happening. So
what's that phrase? We don't need a handful of people doing zero waste perfectly. We need 7 billion people doing it imperfectly.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's a really good point too. And I've honestly never even thought of like the flying in of my coffee. And I feel like I'm like, there are so many things, even with Halloween candy, like I was trying so hard to find plastic-free alternatives. Like I found tons. And of course, one of the plastic-free alternatives is Smarties.
Which is by Smarties Nestle. Is
by Nestle.
We don't want to support Nestle. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But I know. Like, that's crossed my mind, too. And I think Reese's Pieces are not Nestle, and they're also in a box. But I don't know if you can find the little ones. You'd have to get...
I found so many. I was thrilled with myself because I found bottle caps, which like they're not healthy, but they are delicious. They're plastic free, they're palm oil free, and they're vegan, and they're not by Nestle. So that was a win for me. That's what I was trying. But you know what I mean? Where there's so many things, you can't have everything every time.
And you can't be that, you can't always be that stick in the mud that makes everyone hate you either.
Exactly. So it's a fine line. It's a fine line. But yeah, we can all only do our best. And I think the more time we spend like celebrating the successes instead of being like, oh, it's this, but did you check that? Or did you check that? Or like, you don't need to rain on every parade. Like, let's just all do our best.
We share ideas and get better as we go.
Mm-hmm. And the more we have those conversations, the more we learn. So
are we ready for wine, cheese, and dessert?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. You go first.
My wine, I actually kind of alluded to, I almost did a completely plastic-free Halloween. I was super excited about it. I gave away bottle caps. I had foiled wrapped candies. But we had the most kids last night that we've ever had, ever.
What?
Yeah, we had like 50 kids, which was incredible. But I had to go to the store and get more kids. Well, I didn't have to. I chose to because I didn't want to disappoint the kids. So I bought 10 more chocolate bars that came wrapped in plastic. So aside from that, though, it was all plastic free. We didn't have any plastic decorations. We just changed the lights and set up a projector. And
that's cool.
I rewore the same onesie that I wear every year to give out candy. So that's my... Oh, no, sorry. That's wine. I thought wine is delicious. I love wine. No, it was. I did get that right. It was almost plastic free. Not quite. I chose to go out and buy 10 more plastic wrapped chocolate bars after I almost did it.
So I had thought about that. Like, we went to a friend's house, so I wasn't the one in charge of picking the things that we were getting handed out. And so that was fine. Not that anyone would come. We live in an apartment style building. So we're not going to get trick-or-treaters anyway. But I thought about that and I'm like, okay, so if I wanted to do a plastic free Halloween, would I include a little note with their whatever saying, enjoy this plastic free treat? Like just something to kind of actually point out that was on purpose.
Yeah, I think because I thought of that too. I would just tell them at the door because kids get excited about stuff. And like, if you're giving them their candy and they're like, hey, and guess what? This is like the best candy ever. And there's no plastic. Like, you're welcome, guys.
Yeah, that had definitely crossed my mind. Anyway, so that was your dessert.
Wine. I'm always looking for the silver lining. That was my wine. So wine was, I almost
you
had, did
you
it.
Went out and got. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The struggles that we deal with our choices.
But it felt like a win otherwise. And even like that I needed to go out still felt like a win. But technically it was a wine. My plastic-free streak came to an early end. What's your wine?
So My wine is, I went and checked out the Buy Nothing groups.
Guess, oh, did you?
Guess what? There's not one for my area.
Oh, no.
So I reached out to the two closest ones, and they rejected me. They were like, no, you're not in our area, and I'm sorry that there isn't a Buy Nothing group for your area, but I guess you're just going to have to start one because it needs to stay hyper-local. So I was like,
what a bummer. I wonder if, like, you replied and said, like, what if you can't? Because the whole idea is, yes, to give in your neighborhood. And if you are outside of that neighborhood, like, if you were like, hey, I'm outside the neighborhood, but, like, I will come for pickup or I will come for drop-off. Because that seems like it's very, and I have another friend that was dealing with a similar issue where she couldn't find one in her neighborhood, but I don't know if she got rejected or not.
Like, they literally said, if you apply to be part of the group, I will not allow you in it. And I was like, oh, okay. Fine.
I don't like that. What a wine.
So I was a little bummed about that, but I did get the app. So the silver lining there is I got the app. There's nothing there either, but apparently the app is like brand spanking new. So I just started posting it, and I was like, whatever, people will find me eventually, and they'll become part of my group.
Okay, so, I like that. So,
and I was very excited that I didn't have to go on Facebook to do it. Because there's no group there, I started posting in the Buy Nothing for the area in the app.
I like that. Snaps for biz.
Jeez.
So my mom bought a box of word teaser riddles for my stepson, and some of them are kind of lame, but some of them I really love. And so I chose one that I thought you would appreciate.
Okay.
What bank has no vault and no money?
Oh, I might have the answer, but I'll let you do it.
No, if you have the answer, I want to hear.
Okay, well, is it the food bank?
No, that's what I thought too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But food bank was the first thing that came to my mind as well.
Of course, you can tell that this is our life. Definitely the food bank.
Honestly, that was my, I was like, oh, I got this.
Okay.
What's your cheese?
Okay, so because we were having so many difficulties before, I thought this was appropriate. So before we started recording, we were having a really hard time with like feedback and stuff for some reason. So my joke is, my friend told me that for minimal lag, I should use an analog connection instead of Bluetooth for my speaker system. And I thought that was sound advice.
That's so cheesy. I love it. Well played. Well played.
All right. So do you have another dessert, or is the dessert that you almost had a plastic-free Halloween?
Initially, that was going to be the dessert, but then I remembered something awesome that happened. So yesterday, a friend and I went out to do Trash and Treat, which, if any of our listeners are not familiar, Waste Free Edmonton every year hosts a citywide cleanup where people are just encouraged to get dressed up in their costumes and go out and pick up litter in their community.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were picking up litter, I found $5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm like, I totally have a dessert that I completely forgot about. Oh. But yeah, just found $5 in a Carl Forrester grass near the park.
What a fun little surprise. I like it.
It was my treat for the Trash and Treat, I guess.
Okay, my dessert is, before we moved, which was back in July, we were missing two lids from our Snapware containers. And we figured, well, we'll probably find them in the move. But we moved, and the lids were still missing. And I was like, how does this happen? Where would they possibly go? Like, it's not like we were aware that they broke or anything. But it turns out that you can just get replacement Snapware lids. So I just ordered the lids to replace.
Awesome!
So I didn't have to get whole new containers and throw out the ones that I had. I could just replace the lids. So that made me happy.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. And ties into our whole theme of, like, do you need to get a new one? That kind of counts as a repair, like just getting a replacement part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Yeah. So that is our episode for the day. Want to say thank you to our listeners for tuning in. and to our patrons from Patreon who are supporting the podcast and the waste reduction efforts of Waste Free Edmonton. Thank you to Change Toothpaste, who sponsor the podcast and pay for all the costs of podcasting, because it's not free and we are all volunteers here. And if you want to get 15% off buying some Change Toothpaste tabs, you can use coupon code BECOMINGLESS for 15% off. If you want to get a hold of us, you can reach us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or you can find all the ways to connect and listen at wastefree.ca/becominglesspod. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see that face you just made at me.